Amen. You may be seated. As always, thank you, Gary. I was thinking as you were playing the complexity of that song that you played. I just want you guys to realize that as talented as he is, he has to work hard every week to bring us this quality of music. It's not just something he just reading those notes off the page. He practices his music all week long, and he thinks about it, and he prays about what he's going to sing and play. And we just, I think, owe him a tremendous debt of gratitude for all of the effort that you put forth in the music. We thank you for that. Okay. Now, we have a special guest this morning, a special blessing. Howard Isom is going to share with us. Howard has been here before, but I have not heard him yet. We were doing something. I can't remember if we were sick or on vacation or what. But Howard's here with his wife, Mary, and I look forward to hearing from Howard. Howard has a jail ministry. Is that a good way to say it? Or
we do.
Okay. He has been in prison, has been out, and is serving the Lord since his release. So I actually served the Lord while he was in prison. God got his attention in prison. So it's always exciting to hear from people whose lives have been so dramatically transformed. And I've had the pleasure of meeting him and talking with him this morning. We've spoken on the phone. I've read his newsletter. He's got some books, a book that he has written. I think you brought some with you, didn't you? We'll talk more about that later. Get a chance to get one of his books. It would be great. But I'm excited to hear, Howard, what the Lord has laid on your heart to share with us. So come on up and just welcome again to Walnut Grove here.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Amen. Am I on? I'm on. Okay. Yes? Is a real blessing. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. You can be finding your place. And I will try to find mine. We are so thankful for this opportunity and the privilege to be here. And we were here last time. I don't remember exactly when it was, but I think Don Stafford was supposed to have spoken that Sunday, and he got sick or something, and he talked to your pastor about using me, and I tried to come in and say that I was Don Stafford, but too many of you knew Don Stafford, and you knew I wasn't him. But I was in prison for 20 years, as Pastor Kurtz already said. And I spent 10 of those years at Mountain View Correctional over here in Spruce Pine. And Don Stafford was my chaplain, and I worked for him as a chaplain assistant or chaplain clerk for several years. But it was prison is not a joke. It's not a game. It's a pretty rough time. And I won't get in. I shared some of my story, I think, the last time I was here. Some of you may remember it, but you know, drugs, alcohol, a life of, I was living violence. I grew up in church. My mom took us to church. As a married man with my children, I took them to church as they were younger, but ended up in some bad situations, bad choices, and drugs, alcohol, violence. I ended up taking a man's life one night, and you cannot take that back. There are some things that you can repair. Some things can be restored, and a lot of things can, but that couldn't be fixed, Pastor. And so I had to go to prison. I was facing death row to begin with, and God blessed me with only 20 years. That doesn't seem like a blessing, but I could have still been there with life with no parole. A lot of men that I know have life with no parole. So I thank God that goodness and mercy, I thank him for mercy. I didn't deserve his mercy, but I thank God for mercy that he, 20 years, and he allowed me to come out. August 27, 2021, I walked out the gate, and as the pastor said, we do have some books, and on the front cover is a picture of me walking out the gate at Hudson Correctional after 20 years. That's over 7,300 days, day for day. It was a rough time. But I got to walk out and had a great time with my family. A lot of restoration had taken place over the course of years, and my son and daughter were there, as well as many other people. And the lady sitting over here, Mary, she was there, whom God put in my life. And we left the parking lot. I told my family, we were hugging and we were crying and rejoicing. It was good to get out of prison. And we probably had 30 or more people, maybe 40 people there that day. It was a great time. And after we did our hugging and stuff, I said, well, I don't know what y'all are going to do. We had a celebration planned for later on in the day at our home. I said, I don't know what y'all are going to do, but right now, Mary and I need to leave. We got to go to the Register of Deeds and get my license so we can get married. So we started off, God blessed me with a beautiful, godly woman. And the third Sunday I was out, we were asked to go up here to Spruce Pine to speak at a church. The third Sunday morning I was out. The fifth Sunday morning I spoke at my church, and we've been speaking ever since. Not every week, not every month, but God continued to open doors as we share what great things Jesus has done for us. He's been so good and kind to take a man that was a mess, a sinner. Y'all believe, now the Apostles' Creed said we believe in the resurrection, we believe in the forgiveness of sins. We just quoted a while ago. So he forgives and he washes because of the resurrection, because of what Jesus Christ did. He washes sinners in his blood. And it's an amazing thing to me how dirty sinners can be washed in blood, and the scripture says, come out white as snow. Isn't that just amazing? That's what he does. But I want to look at this story in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, 9 through 10, verses 9 and 10. It's the story of Jabez, and I don't know, many of you are probably familiar with that. You've probably heard this, but I like reading this story. I like getting scriptures that kind of I can relate to and use some of my story to go along with that and share on these things. Said Jabez was more honored than his brothers. His mothers named him Jabez and said, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez called out to the God of Israel, if only you would bless me, extend my border, let your hand be with me, and keep me from harm so that I will not experience pain. And God granted his request. I love that. And God granted his request. The name Jabez means pain. It means one who causes pain or one who causes sorrow. And back in the culture, in the times, people would name their children with a belief that their life would be characterized by what their name meant. So he might be characterized by pain or sorrow. I don't know what the situation was. I don't know where the dad was. I don't know what was going on. And I think it was more than just the natural pain from childbirth in her life. But she named this boy Pain. How'd you like to have that name? Hey, Pain, pick your toys up. Hey, Pain, it's time to go in. Hey, Pain, hey, sorrow. Hey, he that causes pain, he that causes sorrow. How'd you like to have that as your name? But he had that as his name. And they think that their life would be characterized by that. So there's a lady that I know, but she didn't know I was going to be teaching on this. And she was telling me about her son while she was pregnant. The way she carried him did something to her sciatic nerve. And it caused a pain in the rear. Y'all ever heard that? The pain in the rear. You're just a pain in the rear. And she said she told her son, he's in his 20s now. She said, you know, you literally are a pain in my rear, you know, because the way how do you like pain? Sorrow. That was his name. I don't know what happened with him. I don't know where he began. The Bible doesn't give us a lot of details about his life. But it does say that he started praying. I don't know, maybe he heard about what God told Abraham when he told Abraham that I'm going to make you a blessing. I'm going to make your name great. Your name great. You're going to be a blessing. Maybe Jabez, he was an heir of Abraham. He could claim that promise and those blessings instead of pain. So I don't know if he heard about Abraham and decided he wanted to pray, or maybe he heard about Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, who's in that lineage. When he wrestled with the angel of the Lord, y'all remember that story? He was getting ready to face his brother, and he was wrestling with the angel of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord said, "Let me go, it's about to be daybreak." And he said, "I'm not going to let you go until you what? Bless me. I want you to bless me." He wasn't asking for material goods. He was a wealthy man. He needed something in his life. And so as he's wrestling, he said, "I want you to bless me. I'm not going to let you go." And then the angel of the Lord asked him a question. "What is your name?" Jacob means deceiver, supplanter. So there again, and his life had been full of that. If you study his life of deception and all this stuff. So there's another instance of a name and the life being characterized by the name. So the angel of the Lord said, and scholars and people believe it was the incarnate, maybe Jesus before, or God, some form of that. But he said, well, he touched him and he said, "No longer will your name be called Jacob, but Israel. Because you found favor as a prince. You found favor with God." So he changed his name from Jacob to Israel. Maybe Jabez heard about that. Heard that story. I know things were passed down orally back in those days. Maybe he heard that story. But something happened because the Bible said he called out to the God of who? Israel. He called out to the God of Israel. Jacob said, Jacob said, "This thing's been following me all my life and I can't shake it. I can't get rid of it. So I need you to do something in my life." And God did it. Y'all know my story. I just shared part of it with you. 20 years in prison. And I caused a lot of pain in my life. I hurt a lot of people. And I was going to read an excerpt out of my book, but I'm just going to tell you part of it. I wrote my mom in this book. There are a lot of letters, excerpts of letters I wrote my mom when I first got arrested and some of my prison journey. And one of them I wrote to her, I was in such a bad way. I was in the county jail, absolutely miserable, facing death row, and I was bitter. I was just a mess. I had begun to pray and was starting to seek the Lord, but I still was a mess. I wasn't where I'm at today in that walk, but I was a mess. And I told Mama, I said, "Mom, my life is over. It's over." And I was apologizing to her because I had said some things that hurt her feelings and hurt some of my family. I was just a mess. And I said, "I don't know why I keep hurting those people who love me the most. But I did. That's where I was at in my mess. I hurt a lot of people." Well, I remember over here at Mountain View Correctional, I got over there early in my time, and I had a single room, and I remember in those cells, many, many, many times, I'd be down on my belly, Brother Kurt, on the floor, crying out for God to help me, singing songs. I would sing songs like, "I Need Thee Every Hour. I need thee every hour. I need thee, oh, I need thee." I'd be on my belly, and I can't sing like this brother. But I would sing it out to, I wasn't singing to anybody but him. "I need thee every hour. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee." I was crying out, Kurt, and asking for God to do something for me. In those early years, I began crying out. I did what Jabez was doing. I was needing God to do. I wasn't needing necessarily, because I prayed this one time. I said, "God, as much as I need my wife, I need you more. As much as I need my children, and Lord, I needed my children, but I need you more. As much as I need a money order," and we always liked a little bit of money coming in so we could spend in the store. I said, "But more than that, I need you. I need you to do something for me. As much as I want my freedom," I said, "God, I need you more. I need you to do a work in me. I need you to fix me. I need you to fix what's broken in my life. I've hurt people. So what was it that Jabez was asking for? And what was it that I was asking for while I was on my knees praying? Let's look at the prayer just a little. He said, Lord, if only you'd bless me. The King James says, bless me indeed. Bless me. I began to look at that, and I know it means a lot more than what I'm going to share, but some of the stuff I discovered in my studying on this really blessed me. It's talking about the supernatural work or favor of God in somebody's life. That's what he was asking for. It's bringing pleasure and relief as a welcome contrast to what one has previously been experiencing. He didn't want to continue experiencing pain, Jabez didn't, or causing pain. He needed God to do something in his life that would change that, that his life wouldn't be marked by that, but characterized by blessing, by something else. It means to be made holy or consecrated. It means to be fully satisfied receiving God's favor regardless of the circumstances. He needed something done. It's always fixed upon the reality of the fullness of life in the presence of God. And boy, when you start getting in the presence of God, things start happening. Getting in his presence, he begins to work on you and cleanse you and help you. It has to do with being the recipient of God's smile and his goodness. Thank God that mercy and his goodness keep following us, keep showing up in our life. In a place I did not deserve it, his mercy and his goodness, I became the recipient of God smiling on my life as I surrender, as I lay before him and crying out for him to do something for me. We were singing a song at Mountain View Correctional for a pretty good time. Every time we go to chapel, we'd sing this song. We got hung up on it. And every time we had a service, we would sing this song, God has smiled on me. It says, God has smiled on me. He has set me free. God has smiled on me. He's been good to me. That was the chorus. We were singing that about 2010. Every time we went to the chapel, 2010, we were singing that. He's been good to me. He set me free. I still had 11 years to go in prison. But from 2001, when I got arrested, to 2010, when we were singing this song, God had begun to bless me. God had begun doing a work in me. And I knew he was smiling on me. He was doing so. He was transforming me. He was changing me. And I could sing. In 2010, a good friend of mine passed away who would support me financially and with letters. Shortly after that, my then wife, I got that Dear John letter that she was marrying somebody else and moving on. I got that letter. Just a few weeks later, I got my mother passed away. I'm like, God, it seemed like you've taken everybody that's in my life. But you know what we were doing when we go to the chapel? God has smiled on me. He has set me free because he was setting me free from a bunch of junk in my life. God has smiled on me. He's been good. I can sing, he's been good to me, because he was doing some things. This thing, so it's a blessing that we're the recipient of his smile. We're the recipient of his mercy and his goodness. That's part of what being blessed. Also, it means a specific gift from God for a specific time and a specific purpose to bring increase into our life. I began crying out, God, I need you to a fire in my soul. I need a passion. I need a new zeal for serving you. I need to have my life be a blessing and be characterized by being a blessing. It has to do with our purpose in life. It's God giving us the power to do what we're created to do. I love this. When I discovered this, I almost had a fit. In Genesis, when he created the animals, he created the fish and the fowl, all this stuff, he created humans. And then God said, and he blessed them, saying unto them, be fruitful, multiply, go on. In other words, in the blessing was the power for them to become and do exactly, fulfill exactly what they were designed to do. So when he began to bless in my life, there's power in that I could finally be the husband that I needed to be, that I could finally be the man that he created me to be, that I could finally be the dad that he created me to be, or the grandpa now that he created and called me to be. There was power in his blessing. He said also, enlarge my border, enlarge my coast. He said, God, I need you to give me more opportunity. I need you to spread this thing out a little bit. I need to get out of this little area that I'm in. I need you to broaden. I need more opportunities. I want to make a difference. Enlarge my coast. Give us more opportunity. We want to make a mark for God. We want to reach more for Jesus. He started doing that while I was still incarcerated. Has he been giving me opportunities to speak? And at one time, over 100 men and was incarcerated. I began to speak often. And in prison, I spoke to volunteer banquets. I spoke to the volunteers. God began to open and expand our borders. And I'm going to have to hurry, but in our ministry, since I've been out, we started a 501c3 ministry. I'm not yet able to go back into the prisons. I'll be eligible at the end of this month, and we'll see what God opens up then. But we did start, we're in our second year of a newsletter. Pastor Kurt has read it, and that we're sending back into the prisons. I knew I couldn't go back in, but my heart and my passion, I wanted to say, hey, God can do something. He can transform our life. Jesus Christ can make a difference. So we started this newsletter, and right now we're in 22 prisons. Two ladies' facilities now. Over 1,000 incarcerated people are getting our letter each month. That's just incredible. Blows my mind of how God is opening and expanding things. We get phone calls and texts and letters from these people who say, keep them coming. Every time one comes, there's something I need in it that fits for that very day or that week what I'm going through. We were getting ready to go shopping one day over in Hickory, and right before we got out of the car, we had a phone call from one of the guys that was incarcerated, never spoken to him before. He had just moved from one prison to another location, and the room they put him in, he found a copy of our newsletter. Somebody else left it, whether they wanted it or not, I don't know, but they left the newsletter. He picks it up, and he says, I just called because I want you to pray for me. Can y'all pray for me? We prayed right then in the parking lot, right there before we got out of the car, prayed for this guy. One man sent us a letter, and he said, Howard, we don't get a chance to do a whole lot in support and stuff, he said. And 10 postage stamps fell out of his letter. He said, I just want to help you spread the gospel. Here's 10 stamps to put on some. I'm like, my goodness. He said, keep them coming. So God's blessing, and I got to go for the second time a couple weeks ago, the second time to UNC Charlotte to speak at the criminal justice class. Thank you. That's my helpmate right there. It's Azar Conegdo, and I wrote about that a few months ago. Azar Conegdo. Oh, it's a great study, the helpmate. My goodness. But I got to speak to that class for the second time. And got to speak, and this is really getting out of my comfort zone, speaking to these college students and, you know, looking up at all these people and stuff. But I got to speak. I got to share my book. I got to share my faith and share some experiences about prison. And towards the end of it, one little girl sitting there on the front row whispered and said, my daddy was in prison. I said, can I talk to you when we get through? She said, yeah. So I talked to her when we got through. I said, is your dad still incarcerated? She said, no, but my mom is. I said, oh, God. I felt the pain she had. I knew what my son and my daughter went through when their daddy went to prison. And I said, can I give you a hug? And I gave her a hug and we talked to her. And we end up, she wanted me to contact her mom. But here at the college, Pastor, God's expanding our borders. God's moving and he's working in a mighty, mighty way. We get reports all the time about this book that's going out. It's just amazing what God is doing through our testimony, through our life. He takes a messed up life and he restores it, and he does a miracle in it, and then he makes it a message that you can take and deliver somebody else. And I just got the hand signal that my time's almost up. He said, the last thing he said was that your hand might be with me. In other words, he said, God, I need your touch on my life. I need your touch. He said, I need to experience your presence, your promises, and your power. All those times in prison when I was down on my knees and crying out, and it was tough, it was hard. I put myself there. I made choices that were wrong. I did the wrong things. I rebelled. I wanted to be free, you know, doing what I wanted to do. It doesn't work sometimes, like when you go like I did. But I said, God, I need you to touch my life. I need to experience your power, your presence, and your promises. Jabez knew what he was asking God for was greater than he could accomplish in his own strength. I didn't know what all God was going to do with me, but I knew he was going to do something in my life, and he has. And he allowed me to start experiencing his presence and his power in my life to change me. The last thing he said was, keep me from evil. That's the last part. I don't know who mentored him. But these were four good points. Bless me, I need a supernatural work done in my life. Expand, use me. I need your touch. Without your touch, it's empty. I need your power, I need your presence. And then he said, keep me from evil, keep me from anything that would cause more pain. He said, I've caused enough pain. I don't want to cause any more pain. Now, pride can also do it. My wife got on me coming up the road. She said, be careful how. I was telling her something about work, where I work at. I got a furniture shop. And, you know, they made a pretty good position for me in a leadership role. And I made a comment. She said, be careful what, you know, when you think you stand, you fall. Watch out, you know, fall. And so pride can sneak in. And when God starts blessing, when he starts expanding, when he starts using you, when you feel his power, when you know he's on you, when you experience all this stuff, oh, watch out, because pride can pop up. And you say, look what I'm doing or what I've done. But not just pride, but temptations, anything that could cause me to go backwards, that could cause pain once again. I thank God for the restoration he's done with my children. Now my grandchildren. We went to LJ, Georgia for 4 days. And this was the first setting like this with my daughter's in her 40s, my son's late 30s. He has four children. But we had this great time zip lining, taking hikes, eating out, cooking hot dogs, just talking, getting up early in the morning, drinking coffee. My daughter likes to drink coffee, and I like to drink coffee. Getting up early in the morning, God was restoring. God was doing something. Before we left on that Sunday, everything was packed up and all this stuff. And I said, before we leave, I said, I just want to share something with y'all. I am so thankful that you would come. I'm thankful for the restoration that's taking place. I'm glad you still want to be in my life. And then I said, does anybody else want to share anything about the weekend? There were several things said. I was holding my 4-year-old grandson. And someone were talking. He starts saying, hey, Grandpa Awesome, I got something to say. Grandpa Awesome, I have something to say. I said, what is it, Logan? He wrapped his arms around me. Said, I love you, Grandpa. Woo, my goodness. I don't want to cause any more pain. That makes sense. You hurt so much. You hurt so many people. Some things can't be fixed, but some things are. So he prayed, God, keep me from evil so I don't cause any more or experience any more pain. Here's the beautiful thing about all this. The Bible said God answered his request. Isn't that beautiful? God answered mine. Woo! Not just something I read in the Word,
but something I'm experiencing today. I'm blessed beyond measure because God got involved in my life and he forgave me and he started working on me and he molded me and made me into the vessel that I am today, a vessel fit. It's my passion, it's our heart to go spread the word, to share what Jesus has done, and God's given me a beautiful helpmate. Ezra Conegdo is the Hebrew words for it, to help in this ministry. She has a lot of passion for people. And we just like to reach out to hurting people. You know, just make a difference in somebody's life. And God just opens up opportunities. Everywhere you turn, there's an opportunity to speak into somebody's life. Everywhere you turn. We got a guy right now calling us. He's 24 in prison. He has 6 years left. He's just a mess. I've been there. I know what a mess looks like. And he calls. And man, we just love him so much. And we're trying to just speak Jesus into his life and speak hope and healing. Jesus can transform his life and make him into what he's created to be. We'd like to offer you our newsletter. Anybody who would like to get on our list, I think you do get it here at the church, or Pastor Kirk gets it. I don't know if anybody else here receives it or not, but if you see my wife, you can give us your address and you can get on it. Our book, like I said, we want to offer it for sale today. If you know anybody that's struggling, it's a good book. It's an inspirational story of how God can fix a mess. And many people are stuck, and many people are in sin, many people are struggling, many people are hurting, and it's a good book. I read it. I mean, I lived it, but I read it sometimes. It still blesses my heart and just tires me up. But God is good, and he can take a miracle and do something in somebody's life. So think about the book. If you'd like to get it, we sure would appreciate you. And my time is up, so I'm going to get back to the pastor. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Howard. That was inspirational to me. And I want to make one thing very clear. I was not the one telling you your time's up. I know that, and you know that, but they don't know that. It was his wife, okay? I just want you to know that. I could listen to you all day. That's great. Now, your books, they're already back there? Okay. He didn't tell you this, but the books are $15. And if you have a 20, you can just leave 20. That's called a tip. But do we have a, maybe Jim can put a basket or something back there in case Howard doesn't get back there before other people do, to put the money in. But anyway, let's support him. By getting the book, and how will they get on your newsletter? To see Mary?
Yeah, just give us your mail address.
Okay. Yeah. So Mary can put you on the email. But your story is encouraging to me. God took something that was broken and made something beautiful out of it. And I was thinking as you were talking about it, the song that Gary played is another example. It was a beautiful song. We all agree with that. But it was written by a broken man. It was written by a man who committed premeditated murder. Talk about a messed up life. But God still turned it into something beautiful. And now, what, I guess around 3,000 years later, we're still enjoying the blessing of that man's life because he turned it over to the Lord, and God made something beautiful out of it. And that's what God's done in your life. And it's just encouraging to me to see just God take a broken life. Bless. Okay. I'm not going to start preaching. We'll be here all day. Let's have a closing prayer, and then we'll have our closing hymn. Father, we thank you for this time together today. It's been an encouragement to me, and I'm sure an encouragement to all of us, to hear how you can take a broken life, Lord, and just make something so beautiful out of it, and to restore relationships of children and grandchildren and stop the pain and just create something beautiful out of it. We thank you that you're the only person that can do that. There's no program that can do that. There's no pill you can take to do that. We can't even do it ourselves if we try. It has to be done by you. You work on us, and you work your magic, and something beautiful comes out of it, and we thank you for that. So I thank you for the ministry that Howard and Mary have. Lord, I ask you to bless that ministry. You're already causing it to grow. I just ask you to continue to cause it to expound even more, to go beyond Howard's wildest dreams and touch lives that he can't even imagine right now that you can touch through him. So we pray a blessing on his ministry now. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Nancy, you want to come up?